This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
We have a fresh forecast here that some U.S. cities could have a tougher 2020 than 2019. From Washington, D.C. today, I'm David Brancaccio. Economic growth in key regions around the world has been slowing, and a new report today also predicts that growth in some of the biggest U.S. cities is set to slow in the new year, but not in all cities, as Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
Business forecaster Oxford Economics says the key to a city's success is its mix of growing industries plus its cost of living and quality of life. The group predicts San Francisco will fare best among U.S. cities thanks to its strength in the tech sector. Matthew Mull authored the report.
It has exposure to the industries that we expect to outperform going forwards.
So Oxford says San Francisco's economy will grow about 2.5% a year, although it's burdened by a high cost of living, which could slow down growth in the future. Chicago's projected growth is slowest at 1.5%.
It's disappointing, but not shocking for Chicago.
Lawrence Massal is head of the Civic Federation, a Chicago government watchdog group. He points to mounting pension debt and uncertainty over future tax policy.
Because of our failure to pay our bills, businesses are shying away from investing.
Also, Chicago's population is declining and manufacturing sector is slowing. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
You may have been fooled into picking up the phone when the caller ID had a number close to yours or your number itself. And was it a scammer? This is just one of the kinds of robocalls the government is about to crack down upon. Congress has passed the bill and it's headed to President Trump for signature. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
Scammers can call you from anywhere in the world and make it look like they're calling from a local number. It's called spoofing. Maureen Mahoney at Consumer Reports says this bill would require phone companies to use technology that'll make it easier to tell in real time if this is happening.
Whether or not the caller has input an incorrect number into the caller ID to evade detection or, you know, trick consumers into picking up the phone. So this will really help phone companies be able to identify and stop robocalls before they reach the consumer.
Mahoney says the government would give phone companies time to get the technology up and running. Margot Saunders is senior counsel at the National Consumer Law Center.
The bill also enhances penalties that the FCC can charge robocallers when they find they've violated the law.
But those penalties can be hard to enforce, especially when the scammers are in other countries. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Let's check markets. We had record high for the S&P 500 on Friday, but today, what some read as a kind of holiday lethargy is beginning to set in. The DAX stock index in Germany is down 0.1%. FTSE in London up 0.5%. Here, Dow and S&P futures are up 0.1% each, about 2.5 hours here before they ring that bell on Wall Street. There is an all-country stock index. If you want to think global, the MSCI is flat at the moment. President Trump on Saturday said the U.S. and China will sign a phase one trade deal, quote, very shortly. China today said it's going to lower its tariffs on some kinds of microprocessors, on frozen pork and avocados. Here at Marketplace, our mission goes beyond reporting the news. It's to make people smarter about the economy through reliable, independent journalism. Your support is what makes it all possible, whether you donate a little or a lot. Being a Marketplace investor makes you a partner in that mission. If you're already giving, thank you very much for going above and beyond. If not, there's still time. Donate today, marketplace.org. And thanks for believing in what we do.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Even with changes to the tax law, year-end is still a time when people think or rethink their charitable giving. We've been talking to experts as part of our How We Give series, but listeners have something to say about this too, writing in with their own reflections on philanthropy, big and small. Here's one from Arkansas, from a beneficiary of an out-of-nowhere bit of help.
The thing that really hits me the most is just how important $100 was to me then. My name is Rosalyn Emery. I'm the executive director of a nonprofit called the Ozark Natural Science Center, and I live in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I guess it was about 2015. I was a single mom, and I was working a couple small jobs, but none of it really made enough for me to make ends meet. It was a really hard time in my life, and it was winter. I went to the bank with just under $100 and was going to deposit it so that I could pay my gas bill and keep my heat on in my house. But when I got to the bank, I realized I had overdrawn my account and I was already in the negative. So I told the teller, I can't deposit this money. I have to keep the gas on and I have to put food on the table for my kids. And I went to my car and just sat there and cried a bit. After a little while, the teller came out of the bank and tapped on my window and told me that the person behind me in line had paid my negative balance and left me a little extra cash. It was just over $100, so it wasn't a lot, but I was able to keep my heat on because my heat was going to get turned off, I think, that day. I was able to buy a little bit of groceries, and it gave me a lot of hope that things were going to work out one way or the other. And they did. By spring of that year, I got a better job, and that was definitely the lowest point of my life financially. I have no idea who the person was, and they didn't want to be identified. You know, a donation of $100 isn't a lot to me now, but at that moment, $100 completely meant the world to me. And I think that that's something that's really important and that people don't necessarily understand when they give. You know, they might think, oh, $20 isn't going to make a difference in the world. But to the person that's receiving it, that could be huge. And now that, you know, I'm a director of a nonprofit, this experience definitely influenced my work. We're always trying to make miracles happen with little bits of donations and small grants. And there's so many organizations that wouldn't exist if it weren't for people giving to one another.
Listener Robin Emery from Fayetteville, Arkansas. This is part of our How We Give series on Marketplace. Segments are accumulating at marketplace.org. In Washington today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.